This is 5 Gospel Minutes of the International Gospel Hour, presented by Churches of Christ and individual Christians promoting New Testament Christianity. Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Moses was somewhat discouraged when the Egyptian Pharaoh rejected his plea for the deliverance of the Israelites from bondage. He knew God had called him to lead the Israelites into the land he had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. But God wanted Moses to know that the Egyptian Pharaoh would be so angry and afraid that he would drive out the slaves with a strong hand from the land. Exodus 6:1. And God spoke unto Moses and said, I am the Lord. Exodus 6:2. Two powerful ideas appear in this simple verse. The God of heaven has revealed His will to His chosen messengers, like Moses, David, and Jeremiah. He revealed Himself as the Lord. The Hebrew word Adonai means Master or Lord. As the Master of the Israelites, He had the authority to command them. As His servants, they had an obligation to obey Him. God reveals to Moses more about His name than He had previously revealed. He said, And I appeared unto Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by the name of Jehovah I was not known to them. Exodus 6:3. Dr. Hugo McCord's little book, Getting Acquainted with God, 35 Old Testament Descriptions of God, provides substantial information on the passage I am emphasizing in this brief study. Dr. McCord writes, Even the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were close to God, had not had such a privilege of such a definition of God's name, and that was, I am that I am, or I exist because I exist. They were quite familiar with the phrase El Shaddai, God Almighty. But as to the meaning of my name Jehovah, I was not known to them. Exodus 6:2. Now, however, at Moses' request, Exodus 3, and to beget faith in the Israelites, God for the first time completely revealed the meaning of His name. Though the definition of the name Jehovah was plainly given to Moses and to Israel, yet it belonged then and still belongs to the deep things of God. No human can comprehend the nature of a being who had no begetter, nor explainable is it how a being could exist who had no beginning, who is his own cause for being. Everything else must have a cause, and ultimately the cause of everything is God. But for God there was no cause. He is the uncaused cause. Page 16. God wanted Moses and the Israelites to know the significance of His name, since His name reveals His character. He wanted them to understand that He would keep the promise He had made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So He reaffirmed the promise. I have also established My covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. Exodus 6:4. It had been hundreds of years since God had originally made the promise, but the fulfillment of the promise was absolutely sure. The Apostle Peter did not specifically have that promise in mind when he wrote, but what he wrote applies to that promise. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Some of our religious neighbors argue that the Israelites never really inherited the entire land God promised. They believe the time will come when the land promised in all its fullness will be given to God's people. There is a serious flaw with that view of Scripture. God gave the promised land in its entirety to Israel. Joshua affirmed, And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed and dwelt therein. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Joshua 21:43-45. We're surely not going to deny the inspiration of the great book of Joshua. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.